episodes. That's exactly what episode 34 is. Kicking off Halloween season.
Halloween's around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. We're here on the 6th of October. This is the 34th episode of All the Horrible Things with Enan and Chris.
Enan and Chris.
We're going to talk about Halloween in a general sense today.
Yeah.
Was this your favorite holiday when you were a kid?
Oh, 100%. By far.
Really? I loved Halloween, but I liked gifts more than candy. So for me, it was always my birthday. You know, what's more important than celebrating your own existence? I don't know. Does a birthday even count as a holiday? I'm not sure.
A personal holiday. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did love Halloween, though, especially when I was younger. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming in your school, did you guys you have to dress up and go to school in elementary?
Yes. I'll do a quick little backstory. I went to a small elementary school in the town next over because we lived in an unincorporated area. So, I was like on the line of this town called West Chicago. And then Wayne was over by us, Illinois. Okay. So I would, you know, it was awesome. It was like a nice long bus ride to get there. We would pass over this spooky, people know it in Illinois. It's called Munger Road. Munger Road is a haunted street. And they actually made an independent horror film about it, like maybe 10 years back, called Munger Road. And it's about that road.
What's the lore? I mean, I've lived in that neck of the woods myself, but the name is familiar, but I don't know anything about the lore.
Munger Road was this road that it was interesting because almost every other street in this area was paved except for Munger Road. It was like a dirt rock road. And I think they eventually ended up paving it. But when I was a kid, it was terrifying. Even like when we were in high school, we would drive there and like you would just drive slowly. Everyone would try to park on the train tracks and then put the car in neutral. And people would claim the car was pushed off the tracks. And some people claimed that there was like handprints that you would see on the back of the car. We never got that. But that was the cool thing about it, though. You know, like you had to keep trying. And there was like an old abandoned house there. And you would drive by. It was really, really spooky. And I mean, but that was the thing. We would pass that road every day to school and I would look down there. But my favorite thing we did in Wayne Elementary was we had a Halloween parade. So we would all dress up, all the kids, and then, and you know, your different grades would line up and we would walk like this square perimeter of this small town. And they had like a general store you would pass and people would wave to you. And it was all about just celebrating, you know, dressing up. And it was the coolest thing as a kid. But I loved dressing up as a child and going to school and seeing what everyone else was. But I did all the stereotypical classics, if you will.
Really? Okay. All right. So how far back can you remember? Because I think I have been able to log everything I was from first through eighth grade. I can't remember kindergarten, though, for some reason. I texted my mom. She has yet to get back to me. So kindergarten costume is an unknown. That being said, I don't know what your kindergarten was like, but there was the morning kindergarten class and the afternoon one.
Yes.
So I was in the morning one, and I'm not sure they were likely to dress me up as a kid just for the 3 hours or whatever I went to kindergarten in the morning. So I'm not sure. How far back do you – can you go back to first grade and remember?
I mean, I couldn't – I'm not as organized as you apparently, but I
was just digging through some home videos just now and some old pictures.
I love that. I mean, I think one of the first costumes I ever was a little cowboy. Cowboy, pirate, skeleton.
Oh, how'd you pull off the skeleton? Was it just one of those like body suit things?
Yeah, but like my mom was really good at face painting. Like I was, if I wanted to be, you know, instead of as a kid, you would say you were soldier. You didn't say that. You're like, I was an army guy. I was an army guy a few times because I loved the camo. I still love camo, like the fatigues and like the cool, you know, face painting of the camouflage face paint. But I was pretty much those classics.
Interesting. Third grade, I was a wounded soldier myself. My dad had one of these amazing green army jackets. I think probably got a thrift back in the day. It was all tattered and stuff. But honestly, I felt like that was one of my lazier costumes, because all we did was swaddled my head and then put like a big blood on it, like I'd been shrapneled or something. And I just wore the coat. And for third grade, I mean, I think my sisters had more elaborate costumes that year than me. Maybe I was starting to. I probably had a crush on a girl and wanted to seem, you know, cool and didn't want to get too gussied up. That certainly wasn't the case in subsequent years. But as far back as I can check, it's first grade. I was a warlock. At first, I was remembering, I was like, was I Dracula? Because I had the cape and everything. But I went back to the pictures, and apparently my face is greened up. So I look like Dracula, but with this green paint. So it must have been a warlock. Yeah. Which I think is an interesting angle for first grade to be like, yes, I want to be a male witch. That sounds perfect for the age of six. But my most iconic, I would say, because at our elementary school, it was kind of mandatory to dress up almost, because what they would do is then have this parade, this line that went through the whole school for all the parents to then see how all the kids were dressed up. So for a lot of these years, I got my mom's video camera footage of like everyone in my class and everything that they were wearing, which is kind of interesting. Sadly, this is a little sad moment, but one of my classmates from elementary school, Tommy Gilbert, he was in fatigues himself, dressing up as a soldier. And unfortunately, he lost his life in Iraq. So I found that kind of like eerie. Like what he wanted to be, he became, and then took his life tragically. But Rocky in second grade, man, the second grade, that was my, I think I peaked in second grade, to be honest with you, because I have this footage of my mom there in the class and I'm going around saying all the kids' names and who they are. And it's like, I'm holding court here in Mrs. Johnson's second grade. Like I was the man in second grade. I tell you what, that like confidence level did not exceed that, but I was Rocky. I was big into Rocky. I mean, at this stage, wanted to be a boxer growing up. I remember very vividly for my birthday prior to this Halloween, getting the boxing gloves, and I had the blue robe and everything. And I had the blood on my face from getting, you know, Carl weathered up or whatever.
Pummeled.
But that's the one that I like really associate with my youth, where I didn't go kind of the scarier angle as then.
Right.
I tended to after that. So yeah, when Warlock, Rocky, Wounded Soldier, then in third grade. But then that next year, it was like Two-Face, but I wasn't familiar in fourth grade, I think, with the Two-Face from Batman. I mean, maybe I had been, because I think the animated series was around, but this was like a variation. If anything, it almost was more akin to the Two-Face you see in The Dark Knight, because it was more of like this grizzled fleshy melt on one half of my face and the other half was normal. But it didn't go as far as that. I think at the time I called myself like what do you call it? Victim of a plane crash, and like half of me was destroyed because, you know, you hid the arm. I had this half of my whole body was just tattered up. Other half was normal. So it was like I'd crashed and half of me was smeared away. But that was like one of the more elaborate ones. As your mom did, my mom would definitely go to town when she was given the opportunity. In fourth grade, I was still allowing that to happen. I didn't want to like get ahead of you. Do you got any other ones you can remember before I prattle off?
No, I think I costumes. No, please do. This is fun. I think even like some of those times I did some repeats. Like I think I was a cowboy a couple times, and like I think I enjoyed looking at everyone else's costumes, you know, more than like I never did anything scary. My That's sisters were witches a lot.
I'm surprised you didn't do anything scary.
I know.
Wow. What was the cowboy angle? I don't really see you as much of a rough and tumbling cowboy man, to be honest with you.
God,
where'd that come from?
I'm sure there's photos of this. I've always loved Westerns, but I think this is funny because this is even before Woody, but I think I was closer to like Woody from Toy Story, like little plaid shirt,
the
little
gentleman
vest.
Cowboy.
Yes. More of a Doc Holliday.
Okay. I see that. All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Not a, like a, you know, out there in the plains. I was probably like a more of a city cowboy.
Fair. Like Clint Eastwood walks in, you're the guy like sipping something very sweet. And when he walks in, you find your way out the back door as soon as possible. I get it. I can see that. Yeah. I want to see some pictures of this. This is why we do need all the Horrible Things website, so we can kind of toss up some pictures for people to see.
I completely agree. I know I have one.
We just got to put it together. So if there's any volunteers out there that wants to help us with that. Anyways, let's jump to fifth grade for me. When apparently I didn't have that same confidence I did in second grade because I was fully mummified, like wrapped up in cloth too. We're not even talking like toilet paper mummy here. We are talking legit mummy. Only see my eyes. I had all this cloth just dragging behind me. It looked good.
Could you eat lunch? Was your mouth covered?
You know, that's a really good question.
Did you get to eat that day?
I'm not sure. I very few memories. All of my memories are really based on my home videos, you know. Otherwise I can't remember anything. The following year was a cool one. I think this was influenced because around this time I was allowed to watch a little more adult shows. So I'm pretty sure around fifth, sixth grade, I started to watch Roseanne. And then everyone knows those Roseanne Halloween episodes were so freaking cool. The costumes, most specifically. I'm not sure I remember a lot of the plots that was going on. But they always had this amazing party every Halloween there in the Roseanne show. And, you know, we were akin to that show because it took place in, you know, Aurora, right? In a suburb right by us. What seemed like Aurora or something?
Correct. I don't think they used the actual name, but
they didn't use the actual name, but that's like where the location was supposed to be. Right. So I think that show kind of got me into wanting to be a little gorier. So in sixth grade, we did this thing with like an arrow through my head, but it wasn't one of those ones you just put on there. It was legit like, you know, prosthetic on, looks like there was blood gushing down from both sides, and it kind of like went in and went a little bit of an angle. Ooh. It was well done. I mean, my mom, she pulled out all the stops for this. I certainly would have shown up in a sheet with two holes in it for eyes if it was just me, but she pulled that one out. This is where I should have stopped. Sixth grade. That's it. I mean, that's where my elementary went through sixth grade. I know there's a lot of junior highs that do sixth through eighth, but my elementary was through sixth. And then I went to junior high and didn't understand that you're not supposed to dress up anymore.
people were too cool, but
at this point, because it's the beginning of the year, right, seventh grade, junior high, you're only in for a month and a half or whatever at that point with school, so I thought it was wise to dress up essentially what looked like a rainbow Joker. I had these ridiculous shorts on that were like a rainbow. I was wearing suspenders, but then my face was very much like the Tim Burton Joker-esque feel to it, and I will never forget getting ridiculed to hell for this outfit. And in fact, I have one picture that I got to show you of me in this thing,
please,
because it's the most cringe picture of me maybe that exists. I'm like doing one of these things, trying to look scary as the Joker, but I really just end up looking like this, you know, super effeminate weirdo kid from 1994 or whatever.
Right.
And that one I'll never live down. That following year, though, I didn't dress up for school, but I still wanted the candy. So eighth grade, that next year, I don't know. I think my sisters were still, they were definitely still dressing up. But I stole some yellow paint and just painted my face smiley face. And I went around like a weirdo alone trick-or-treating just in this smiley face just trying to get some free candy by myself.
I'm sure it worked. I'm sure you got one.
Desperate eighth grader. Yeah. I mean, I definitely got some dirty looks from what I recall. But that was the end of it. I didn't dress up in high school, did you?
No. No. There's certainly a weird cutoff, though, for like trick-or-treating. You know, there's...
True.
You don't know. You still want to go. You still want to. You're in denial that you're too old for it. But there's a point. Okay, sorry, guys. You're too old. This is getting weird.
Especially because it gets, if you have younger siblings, as I did, they're getting this big old booty of delicious candies. And, you know, in the freshman year in high school, I didn't have a job yet. And I'm just jealous that they have all this candy because they're not sharing. My sisters weren't sharing their candy with me. So, yeah, I was definitely a little bitter, resentful that I had aged out of the free candy fest, which was a bummer. That being said, my mom did have a lot of just like candy dishes all throughout my youth around the house. So I should have been satisfied the little peppermint patties that she had everywhere.
Yeah.
In fact, let's talk candy. Let's go back to our trick or treat days and talk candy, if you will, if you're down.
I love candy. I still do.
Even before then, what now as an adult? Have you aged into anything you didn't like back then? Or
here's people think I'm weird. I don't like, I don't dislike chocolate because I love like a Reese's cup or a Kit Kat. Yeah. But I am more of the sweets, like as a kid, it was Nerds. I loved Nerds. And Sprees, you know, that type of candy, that sugary stuff, the Skittles.
The kind that gets into your teeth and just rots
it. Oh, yeah.
Way more than chocolate does, because chocolate at least dissolves a little
bit
better.
Still have all the originals, though.
I'm with you on the Nerds front. I was kind of the opposite. The fruity stuff really didn't appeal to me like the chocolate stuff did. But yeah, I kind of ranked them. So you're saying at the top of your stacks is like a Nerds. That's if you were to roll up to one of these houses and not trick them and in fact get a treat.
You know what?
You're the happiest with that.
No, my number one would have been Starburst.
Starburst.
Yeah.
That's in my lowest echelon, my man.
Well, you just said it. You don't like the fruity candy.
I just love how our tastes are so variant. A little side note here. What is your go-to movie theater candy?
What's weird now? Now you can't get as much, you know. My current go-to movie candy, Sour Skittles.
Wow. I didn't know they even had those there. Oh, I know they always have Sour Patch Kids, but Sour Skittles?
Sour Patch
the
Kids are great as well. Sour Patch Kids are great as well. But I can really throw down a bag of Sour Skittles. They also have the bite-size Starburst now where you don't have to unwrap them. Just get to them
interesting.
Quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a big fan of those as well. Yeah, I'm always been, always will be a Snowcaps man. I know it sounds strange.
Especially,
I can see how most people are like, why would I ever want to just get chocolate chips with little confetti on top of whatever the hell? Non-Parliers? I don't know how to pronounce whatever the hell they're actually called. The bigger ones are amazing. But I liked getting movie theater candy that I couldn't get at Halloween. You know what I mean? Because you're not getting a small box of Snowcaps ever. That being said, my number one, because it was so rare trick-or-treating, was Junior Mints. I loved my Junior Mints more than any other candy. Even to this day, that's my number two for the movie theater would be a Junior Mint. Granted, it's kind of gross to learn that the outside shell to keep them kind of like waxy and fresh longer is actually a secretion of bugs. Which is pretty gross. You're eating bug secretion when you eat Junior Mints.
Secretion is gross.
it's a horror Halloween cast here.
Yeah, I don't use secretion a lot, but yeah, that's
effective. Either the secretion or like ground up shells. All I know is a byproduct of insects that
but
keep
like,
it.
Yeah. The weird like that. Stuff that goes into candy. I mean, you know, red
it's
dye
candy.
40 is like in everything.
Exactly.
You know what I used to get a lot as a kid, and they're really, I'm not going to say unpopular in the sense that people dislike them. I'm saying unpopular in the sense that you don't see them a lot, or Whoppers. Do you remember getting Whoppers?
My aunt absolutely adored Whoppers. Whoppers and Dots were two candies that I could count on year round when I went to my aunt's place. Little boxes for both of them.
I do like Dots.
Also, Whoppers, by the way, has that same bug secretion I've recently.
What do you mean Googling?
Recently learned
candy
that's on
secretion.
The same list. I liked Whoppers, I think, more when I was younger. I've recently tried them again, and they did not hit the spot. It's also one of those candies that I tended to suck off the chocolate and then kind of grind up the malted ball on the top of my mouth and my tongue just tore it to shreds, like a Captain Crunch situation. So it was always like a tax for Whoppers for me. I think that's resonated. But back then they were unique. You didn't get them that often. So I was happy to get a Whopper.
Right.
When I did. What else was at the top? So mostly just fruity other than a Reese's, no other chocolate?
No. I'm not crazy. You know, I really liked the bite-sized Snickers.
Okay.
Big
that was middling, because wouldn't you say, ratio-wise, that's the one you're getting the most?
Yes.
I feel like I always walked home with more Snickers than I wanted and more Crunch bars than I wanted. Granted, this was back when the Crunch recipe was different, much better. Mm-hmm. But those two, and of course, regular Milky Way, I felt like were overpowered in my I used a pillowcase so that I could carry the most candy possible. I wasn't one of those little pumpkin bucket boys. I don't know. Were you a pumpkin plastic pumpkin bucket boy?
Pillowcase.
Pillowcase all the way. I really should have evolved to the like a black trash bag, you know, one of those big industrial ones.
You know, it's funny though, because I actually didn't like the Three Musketeers or the Milky Way as a kid. And those were, you would always get them. So my sisters and I, we would dump out our candy at the end of the night. We would almost like trade, like, what do you got that I want? Like, oh, you've got Twizzlers. I love Twizzlers. You know, and that was the beauty of having two sisters who you know, like, did their own thing.
Yes, enabled the trades. Unfortunately, my sisters liked the exact same ones I did. And Twizzler, Halloween Twizzlers were fun, too, because it was like this little tiny rectangular brick of like four that were connected to each other. Those were rare, too. You didn't see those a lot. You're absolutely right. I'd forgotten about how ubiquitous Three Musketeers were, but I liked those, especially if you freeze them. As I grew older, I learned that especially these chocolate ones, you freeze these and they take on a whole new life.
Most chocolate candy is better.
Another very rare one that I absolutely adored was Sixlets. Are you a Sixlet or an M&M man?
M&M, 100%. Really? I know what you're talking about, the Sixlet. And they came in like the long, like...
Yeah. It was kind of like the chocolate Smarties, which I hated. Smarties was like, if someone was giving you Smarties... They were probably poor.
Yeah. here's a really good question before I forget. Were you allowed to keep your candy when you got home, or did you have to turn it over to your parents?
Oh, okay. There was definitely a process. The day of Halloween was kind of a free-for-all. You could eat a lot. Then it became regimented. But my parents didn't take it. They trusted us enough to actually hold on to our candy. Yeah. But what I would do is I'd always empty one of my, like, clothes drawers, leave the clothes on the ground,
I would
put the candy in a drawer, because the sensation of then organizing them and pulling that drawer out to just see the wonder that was all of these delicious sugar concoctions. I'll never forget my candy drawer, essentially.
Oh, that's man,
when I started getting real organized, too, I feel like. That was one of the things. I was like, all right, we got to keep your Reese's over here. Anyways.
I turned into like a little Charlton Heston, and I'm like, out of my cold, dead hands. Over my dead body,
which is understandable. This was your currency as a kid, you know? This is the one time you got, like, a payday that meant something to you.
How cool was it when, like, you were able to, like, bring... My mom would let me bring like a couple pieces in my lunch. Like,
yes.
The next
day.
We
could bring one to lunch at the Hennigan household, one to lunch. And then we got two of our choice for the afternoon snack. We never had them for dessert after dinner or anything. We'd always get one for lunch and two upon, you know, get home watching Batman animated series or DuckTales or whatever. Yeah. And I would very slowly eat my candy to make it last. I'm a pleasure delayer, as they say.
I wish I had that patient. I can inhale it. I could inhale it. If people constantly still say to me, like, how are you even enjoying that? I'm like, I don't know. Let's eat candy.
It is hard. I think it's probably easier to snarf like the fruit stuff, but the chocolate ones are so just like decadent sometimes. And there's another one from our age that doesn't exist anymore, as far as I know. And if it does, it's a different recipe or whatever. But Butterfinger BBs, baby.
Oh,
my goodness. Love it. You got a lot of Butterfingers back in the day, too, which I really liked.
Man, thank you for reminding me.
Butterfinger BBs. I think it might have something to do with the Simpsons cross promotion. But
I think you're right.
I absolutely adored them. Similar to how I like the Junior Mints and the Snow Caps and the Sixlets. And even I prefer Reese's Pieces over to the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I just like the little droplets of candy more. There's something
about
it.
You like to ration it out. You were rationing stuff out.
I was a rationer. That's true. And while I didn't like the Milky Way itself that much, pretty boring, the Milky Way Dark, which really didn't start making an appearance till the latter years of my elementary, Milky Way Dark was such a treat.
Interesting.
I loved the dark chocolate combo with that nougat and that caramel. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Tell me about your trick-or-treating neighborhood experience. Like, were there houses, like you see them like in cliches now, there's houses with the lights all off, like stay away. Like, we're not, very we don't rare, celebrate.
Rarely did you see that. I would say for the most part, you can count on 9 out of 10 houses shelling out. One yeah. out of 25 houses, maybe 1 out of 20, full size.
Oh,
full
yeah.
size, baby. Yeah. It was a very middle class neighborhood that I grew up in. But, you know, even like now, my mom does full size in her neighborhood.
Yeah, my mom does too. I found that out.
It's insane to me.
Their last house, they had they lived like in a cul-de-sac area, and kids didn't go down the street. So my mom would buy all this candy and then have all these leftovers. So I've been leaving my mom's house with Halloween candy for like years.
Yeah,
but I understand what you mean, because I think I had a very similar situation. But it was like this funny network of children you'd pass on the streets, and you're like, which house is passing out the full size candy?
Right, exactly.
Like, it's that one. The full thing.
Or which house has just left out the bowl?
Oh, God, you know? That was just dumb.
I would never be so bad as to dump the whole bowl in my bag. That's just unforgivable. But you're taking three or four pieces, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not just
yeah.
taking the one that you should.
Yeah.
You're kind of taking like a grip, I would say, more Agreed. Often than not.
But I would.
They had to know that was going to happen, though. That's just lazy.
Yeah. I'm like, I was the kid who just wanted the bowl. Like,
you guys you're have a big candy. Baker, right?
I have plans for this bowl. You're never getting this bowl back. That. Want to hear?
You
was really...
the fancy cowboy walking down the street with the bowl that you just nicked.
I got my six shooters. I'm like, back up, everybody! The bowl is mine.
I mean, if it was a wood bowl or something, I might be there with you.
Here's a really quick sad story. I will never forget. It was kind of heartbreaking. There was a house in our neighborhood, and there was an old man who lived there. And you could tell that this old man, I'm talking like he was in his 80s, you know, and he didn't decorate his house. You could tell that like maybe he was a widower or something, just didn't celebrate the holiday anymore. But you'd go up to his house, and this is heartbreaking. He didn't have any candy, but he would go and he would find like spare change. And,
oh,
like,
my goodness.
And hand kids like whatever. And it was like, oh, sir, please, you don't have to do this. He's like, no, it's okay. I didn't get candy. And he's handing like nickels and pennies. And like, wow. Oh my God, this is breaking my heart. I was like, I don't want to go to this man's house, but like maybe he liked, I mean.
Right. Yeah.
Seeing kids some dressed sort of up. It was, oh my God, though.
Connection to it. Yeah. That is sad. And
you don't
want
Pixar
coinage as a kid too. That's what, because that happened with me a little bit too. I did have those houses that weren't prepared, but still would answer the door because no one ever knocked on it. They'd find something.
A Halloween cliche, and I remember kids, I'll still be mad to this day. There was always a house. The mom didn't approve of handing out candy, so she handed out little boxes of raisins.
Oh!
Like, I don't know. Keep your raisins. You keep your raisins, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
No, yeah. Serial killers are the only ones that eat from those little boxes of raisins.
There was a case where, like, sometimes they're handing out fruit. Like, here's an apple. I'm like, no, you're probably poisoning this apple. I've seen movies.
Were your parents ever, did they have to inspect it? I think my parents did look at everything before they gave it back to us.
I think so. I mean, to me, it was maybe like this maybe conspiracy theory that parents said that just so they could eat your candy.
Take like, the good shit.
They went to such lengths. They put out PSAs on cable, and you should be checking your kids' candy.
Like, I just think if you're a psycho, you want to see your victim chew that razor blade. The whole theory of like getting your jollies, just knowing that this kid might bite into it without actually experiencing it yourself.
That's the urban legend, though. That's the urban legend that there were razor blades in our candy. Like, how did you reseal this package? Like, that's how they should inspect the candy. Is it got scotch tape wrapped all around it?
Exactly.
This guy makes his own candy, packages it.
And then it evolved from razor blades trying to like hurt you to trying to drug you. And then I, you know, come it with a similar, why would you waste precious drugs on kids, you know? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you can be making some sweet cash with that. Nancy exactly. Reagan. This is all Nancy Reagan in the 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah. Like, Dare. You still got your Dare t-shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. I don't think I do. I think I...
Somewhere. I saved a lot of those. Like, I don't know why.
Might have used it to mop up some barf after, you know, a really serious trip or something, you know. JK, yeah. JK. Well, yeah, let's just talk really quick about what were the worst then. I know you mentioned not really digging most of the chocolate ones. Was there anything else that you just hated to get, obviously, other than coins?
Yeah, the orange and black candy, the generic. I tried to describe it to you earlier. I don't know what it was. It was like, it was almost like a generic, like, remember Bit of Honey? Those were the
lowest of the low. Yeah.
But then there was like the orange and black, which was like a generic version of that. And like, I remember it was the very last thing in your Halloween candy bag. And you're like, if I gotta, I gotta.
This is when I wish I had a pet growing up, because it would go immediately. The pet would get to enjoy that. Cause yeah, not for me either. Cowtails also sucked. Hated cowtails.
Yeah. Yeah, cocktails. For the most part,
like, when the caramel is the central ingredient in a candy, not huge on it. Like, did you ever get just like individual Rolos? That was terrible.
Oh yeah,
certainly a handful of candy corn. That's just dog poo poo, right? But I also was not happy with Tootsie Rolls, and I was never really happy with any sucker unless it was a strawberry blow pop.
Like a
chocolate. I was okay with that.
What was that brand? I mean, there's Blow Pop, but then there was another.
And then there's Tootsie Roll Pops.
Tootsie Roll Pops I kind of liked, weirdly.
I like the chocolate one. The rest, yeah, they're just. Yeah.
The red one jumps out in my mind.
Too frequently.
Yeah. Gum. I didn't like gum. I didn't.
No. Dinner mints?
Remember, like the was it called Pow or something like that? The gum, like the...
Oh, yes.
It was shaped like when you opened
bazooka.
It up.
It wasn't Bazooka Joe gums, was it?
No, there's Bazooka, and then I think there was like a generic.
I know what you're talking about.
You would unwrap it, and it was shaped like a little barrel.
Right. Do you remember? I do remember that. And what's the message there? Trying to get us all into artillery and such.
But to your point, you should not have been eating loose candy.
Definitely not.
That's not wrapped. Do not eat that. That's garbage.
No, if somebody just tosses an Altoid in there, I'm not interested.
Cough drops. Kids getting cough drops. But like I said, also raisins. Fuck you with your raisins.
No, that's just terrible. I did want to mention just a couple other later Halloween experiences that continue to resonate with me. I don't know if you were there. You might have been there, because this was in our COD days. This kid that was part of the drama department, Neil. Do you remember this Neil guy? He had a party. He was living in New York, in Oak Park. I remember it was one of my later dress ups where I actually won his Gambit from the X-Men.
Ooh,
this was
cool
at a time
costume.
I don't know if you remember, but I had hair down to my
shoulders. You had long,
at one point.
Yeah.
Very hippie-esque. But I used that same jacket that I used for that wounded soldier, because it looked a little like a Gambit jacket. I think I brought like a shower curtain rod as my, you know, Gambit has a staff.
Staff.
But then I brought these overpower cards, which are like X-Men Pokemon cards. And I went to this party of all these drama kids, and I just would just start whipping them at the people. And I was asked to leave. That's one of the few Halloween parties I ever went to.
It's amazing.
Otherwise, when I was like, you know, latter half of high school or at the COD years, we kind of get into mischief more often than not. I remember there was this abandoned, I don't know if it was a monastery, mental health clinic, but it was just like half torn down, but you could still access it. One Halloween night, we went there and explored it, and there was just like demonic stuff painted on the walls and stuff.
Like
never forget that. And then there was another incident where we were big into Nerf gun wars.
Sure.
But my buddy was living next to a house that was just built. So Halloween night, we went in there with, I don't know, five or six guys and just had this Nerf war in this empty new house. And I'm pretty sure we messed up some walls, man. I'm pretty sure there was some deconstruction that occurred. But that's a very memorable Halloween for me. Other than that, I mean, as I've gotten older, I don't really dress up. I think the last time I dressed up was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, was Toad from Mario. I do remember back in like 2004 when I was working at Blockbuster, totally inappropriate of me to do looking back on it. But I just got a potato. And I stuck it in my zipper and kind of pinned it in there and just said, I'm a dictator. I'm a dictator. And every customer that came in, I gestured to my crotch area and said, I'm a dictator to all these.
Yes. You're like, look down.
Oh, it's such a good manager of Blockbuster. I'm surprised they crashed and burned. But yeah, let's kind of wrap this up talking about some of the Halloween specials we remember the most. What were the shows that like you looked forward to their Halloween episode?
I'll kick it off with, it's funny because it was just the other day, it pops into my head every year, but this year I finally looked it up. I'm like, what was that called? And it was a really fun animated movie special that aired every year as a kid. And I just saw that it's streaming on Tubi and I plan to watch it this Halloween season. See if it holds up because I haven't seen it in years, but it's called The Halloween Tree.
Oh, I haven't heard of
remember
that.
Remember that? I'm going to, again, if we had a website, I don't remember. I don't, I think it was like something that would air like on TBS or something local because it was a really fun, like almost like adventure thing. The kid learning about the origins of Halloween. And like, it was just really fun. And to me, that was like my Peanuts. I know everyone really liked watching Charlie Brown.
Right. The big pumpkin king or whatever.
What is that called? Yeah. You're a pumpkin head, Charlie Brown.
You can't help it, especially in my mom was big into that too. So it was like an event between the Christmas one and the Halloween one. We'd always watch those. But I like the Garfield one better. I don't know if you remember the Garfield Halloween special.
Oh, yeah.
But as a kid, I really liked Garfield. And I don't know, it's one of those like characters that I haven't really thought about much until we talked about doing this episode. Yeah. And I just remember so vividly watching that because I had this friend-ish. It was mostly a friend of mine because my mom was friends with him. Kitty cornered our house, but he was like 3 years older than me. So every time I hung out with him, I just felt so cool. But I'll never forget watching for the first time that Garfield Halloween special. And he was, of course, a pirate in it. There was something about that one that I will always just like have nostalgia for.
Sure.
That Garfield special.
Mm-hmm.
And as noted before, the Roseannes were always an event.
Those were great. I mean, every sitcom had their specials aside. I mean, I remember, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but there was a Home Improvement episode where they turned their basement into like a haunted house. And I remember
they
that
were
being
good.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what? You know what I'm seeing is it seems like ABC at that time was really focused on making sure they had good Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
Because Roseanne's was always good. And Roseanne was one of those shows that my dad would very rarely watch the same stuff my sisters and my mom would watch with us, you know. But that was a show he watched and really got into the Halloween episode as well.
Yeah.
I remember beyond ABC, Nickelodeon was pretty good about pumping out Halloween specials.
Yeah. I mean, and you always had Are You Afraid of the Dark to fall back on. That was like my go-to as a kid.
True. They didn't have that meant often a Halloween episode on Are You Afraid of the Dark, but there is a really good one called The Tale of the Twisted Claw, which is like Monkey's Paw ripoff.
I remember that one.
That was pretty good. Because even though it was a spooky show, they really didn't focus on Halloween that much.
Right. You could easily transition into The Simpsons with that Monkey Paw, because I remember there was a Treehouse of Horror where the Monkey Paw, it would close its feet, right? It would close each finger. And
yes. I love that animation on that Monkey's paw, too.
That,
like a blue paw.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like the ultimate Halloween
the end
special,
all be
right?
all the treehouse is the most exciting. Often it was the first episode of the season too, and certainly
that's true.
I think like myself, I was obsessed with the Simpsons growing up. I think I mentioned this before. I won runner-up in a Bart Simpson lookalike contest when I was only 10 years old at the Yorktown Mall.
Whoa.
Yeah, babe. I mean, babe. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you babe.
It's very 80s of you. Hey, babe.
But I'll never forget it. It was kind of a traumatizing experience because I got second place. Even though I looked like Bart, I had the skateboard, I had the spiked hair. Dressed up in colors that looked like him. But there was this adorable little pipsqueak, like four years old, 5 years
can't
old,
beat that.
Who
That's
just showed
fair.
Up, maybe spiked his hair. He won, and he was given all of this paraphernalia that I would have killed for at 8 or 9 when I was like in the height
doll.
Of my Simpsons. He's getting all these T-shirts, all these posters, just all of these
Cowabunga.
Bart Simpson trinkets. But I was the one that got my picture in the paper with the guy in the BART suit. And it didn't say anything really about me being runner up. You know what I mean? It made it seem like I won, even though I didn't get all the prizes. Looking back, I'd rather have gotten my picture in the paper than crappy t-shirts, you know?
Yeah, the real winner there.
But yes, as we noted before, Treehouse of Horrors, we could do a whole cast talking about ranking those puppies, because
we really could.
I'm excited for this next one coming up here this month, right? Yeah. Are we on season 35 or 36 of The Simpsons? I hope it goes forever.
I think it's the only episodes I try to watch now. I don't watch The Simpsons.
Really? That's something we could talk about later. But
okay,
I still try to watch. I don't watch them live like I used to, but I will catch up with them eventually. Just always hoping for those Milhouse-centric episodes. You know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a couple other ones I wanted to mention Halloween special-wise. And I mentioned Nickelodeon because there's an episode of Adventures of Pete and Pete where the older Pete starts losing his Halloween spirit and like kind of it just really spoke to me at the time that it came out, because I was, you know, in one of those the gray zones of should I still be getting into this or am I gonna get beaten up, one of those things. Pete and Pete just was, it was ahead of its time. Similarly, Freaks and Geeks had an episode too where Cardellini's character is kind of wrestling with whether or not she should be as enthusiastic as her brother, and her mom wants her to stay home to hand out the candy. And I don't know. I really like when they take that sort of coming of age angle when it comes to holidays, specifically Halloween, because it is really geared toward kids until it becomes into the slutty mode where you're dressing up to find somebody at a party to kiss.
Right. To kiss on the mouth.
I would be remiss not to mention the Buffy episodes, Halloween episodes, because they're some of the best in any series ever. Specifically, the one from season 3 is probably my favorite Halloween episode of anything ever. And that involves them becoming the character or the costumes that they wear. They actually, there's a spell that's cast where they become the Disney princess or whatever this, you know, airhead princess Buffy becomes, and Xander becomes an actual army man, which then plays in later seasons and seasons down the line where he still has retained these militaristic skills, which I found really interesting. There's also a really good Angel episode called Life of the Party, where this character Lorne, who's a demon who hears you sing and he can see your future sort of thing, he's able to kind of like make people do things during a Halloween party. That was a lot of fun too.
Interesting.
But as you mentioned, like, it's usually the sitcoms that you go to when we were younger, certainly for the Halloween fair, like Home Improvement. Even Frasier had some great episodes, Halloween centric. But
Boy Meets World had one of the best ones.
Which one?
Boy Meets World had the whole slasher episode. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love a good Halloween episode. I think it's one of those things where, like, you love it as you love Halloween as a kid, and there might be that wave of, am I too cool? I should be worried about other things. But then I think I'm getting back into the spirit of Halloween, like I was.
Absolutely. Granted,
we don't have kids.
No.
And I'm in an apartment, so I'm not giving out trick-or-treat candy.
Same. But I can't wait till one day, if we're lucky enough to have a home, to decorate it and be, like, the talk of the block.
In fact, in the news right now in Illinois is that Stranger Things display that's been all the rage. One of the neighbors, I guess, had an issue with it, right?
One of the neighbors doesn't want them to have all these people driving through. I'm like, that's what it's about.
I know. Yeah, it seems pretty absurd. I might understand. I wouldn't understand it, but I might understand if it was more like, this is satanic, you know, because she's being, it's Max's character floating in the sky, about to be like contorted to near death. Or I guess she died technically and then came back. Mm-hmm. But when it's just like, oh, we don't want traffic, it's like, how much of a killjoy are you to do that? To
it's like, are you not allowed to decorate for Christmas either? And like, have people come look
exactly
at your lights?
Double standard. Double standard indeed. Before we wrap this up, I mean, is there anything else you wanted to mention about Halloween?
I love it.
Yes, I do as well.
No,
but I did want to note, hopefully we'll get to cast about this in more detail with spoilers, but a couple days ago I was able to see this new horror Smile.
Oh, right.
Which I was a little disappointed at first when I saw, I didn't actually see a preview before I went to see it, which always helps, especially when something is good. But the star of it is the daughter of Kevin Bacon, and his actress wife. I can't remember her name right now. She's great. She was in Phenomenon with John Travolta. Anyways, I was a little trepidatious going into this because it felt nepotistic with this casting, but the movie was really, really good and really, really scary. It's essentially, it's along the lines of It Follows and The Ring. Yeah. This is a chain link horror movie that hits it out of the park. And I will say the creature design is one of my favorites I've seen in the longest time. I'm certainly not going to spoil anything beyond the chain link nature of what goes down in this, but it, we watched Barbarian a couple weeks ago, which I was surprised with how much I liked it, but I think I liked Smile better. And I didn't expect that at all. I went into it low expectations and it honestly scared the bejesus out of me. And that is hard to do. Granted, that's exciting. I did see it in the theater with like me and one other guy who was in the row behind me, like three seats over. So I kept like looking behind me the whole time I was watching it. Just a little just
smile. I will say it had one of the greatest marketing campaigns I've seen in a long time, maybe since Blair Witch. But did you see that? Like even in the baseball games, they had someone sitting behind home plate just smiling into the camera.
No, yes. I did not see that. I've only seen the poster before I went to see it. But yeah, it's just really unnerving is the right word for it, because
I can't wait.
When people give you a smile that you know is ingenuine, that takes that to the umph degree, and I want people to go see it.
Yeah,
I do. But other than that, just want you loyal listeners to stay alive.